night before the trade deadline. And all through the Twitter machine, all the creatures were stirring. Especially the Blake Murphys. It's the Fan Morning Show. J.D. Bunkus, Ailish Forfar, Blake Murphy. I did my best.
Terrible. There's a couple ways you could have gone there. The most important thing was to make it rhyme still, but even failing that, there's an NBA player with the last name House. Come on.
Yeah. I don't know. That's a layup there.
You're blowing layups like you're Daniel House.
Yeah. It's the Daniel spelt D-A-N-I-U-L?
U-E-L.
Ah, so close.
Danuel.
Danuel, yeah. Great name. It's the Fan Morning Show. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Yes, it's the trade. Is the eve of the trade deadline. Trade deadline eve. What time is the actual deadline tomorrow? Is it noon?
3 p.m. Eastern time.
3 p.m. is too
late. We are in the middle of the day.
We are 33 hours out.
Yeah, 3 p.m. is too late. Give me a noon deadline. So that the kids at school, they're back at school, right?
We're
done virtual school now. They can be on their phones and their apps. I don't even know how I got news during trades in high school. Like, I actually have memories of getting information passed my way. I remember the day I found out about the Gary Payton, Ray Allen trade. I was in grade 10, and I don't know how that happened. How did that happen before phones? Someone saw a newspaper, and then that day, like, they came up to me. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, most of what you got was still via the TV broadcast, but definitely by the time Ailish is probably thinks we're so old right now.
I know,
but
I
like
know
we had computer labs
always,
and like
I had a computer lab.
Yes, of course.
This week in computer lab, like obviously one person in the group was on real GM duty for the week and like looking on the forums. I have like a distinct memory of my friend Dave like coming to us at a break between classes and telling us that real GM had a rumor that the Raptors were going to get KG for Mo Pete and a first. And this is one of those things where
they should have done that. Why did they do that?
Yeah. Like, so this became such a running joke in our group of friends that I mentioned it in my speech at his wedding.
Oh, wow.
Because, it was just like, it became like a running thing that this guy would fall for any rumor. Mo Pete in a first for Kevin Garnett. Come on.
There used to be nothing better than skipping school the day of NHL trade deadline. That was the ultimate skip school day. Where you would stay home, you would smoke all of the weed, and you would watch NHL trades all day long. And you would say to yourself, oh my God, the Leafs are actually going to do it. They're going to win the Stanley Cup.
They gave up a sixth for this defenseman that I didn't know about until Sports Desk showed his highlights or whatever.
Oh, no. See, that was the day and age where you did know everybody, and the Leafs would always trade for old guys. Like, I'll never forget that one deadline. I want to say 2003 deadline when the Leafs accumulated
Was that the Phil Housley year?
Yes, Phil Housley and Doug Gilmore, and they went out and they got all the olds that were bangers, and you were just like, this is happening. We're doing the thing. We got Doug Gilmore back. And then his, third shift against the Habs? Boom, there goes the knee. But, now it's all on Twitter. The beauty is, though, I have hacked it, Ailish. I don't have to be on Twitter. I've been trying to stay off Twitter all I can because I don't know if you've noticed lately, it's bad. It's really bad. I think it's basically to the point now where if you're on there for more than an hour a day, it's shortening your lifespan. Like it's gonna take away from you. I have a Blake Murphy. He just texts me the trades. He just goes, hey. He's like, you know how Facebook has those people that filter through all the horrible content? Blake is that, but for me on Twitter. And I don't even have to pay him. He's just out there filtering through it all and then sending me stuff. And then I just digest these trades without any Twitter knowledge. So yesterday, the big one that affects the Toronto Raptors, all right? Let's start with that. This is what you care about, Toronto Raptors fans mostly listening to this, is, okay, trades happened. How does that affect my team? How does that affect me? What does that mean for me? Me. Well, Raptors fans, weirdly, I think the Sabonis for Halliburton trade greatly affects you because it removes, in my opinion, the favorite target of yesterday, Miles Turner. Blake, do you agree with that assessment? Do you think it's more likely they hold on to Miles Turner? Because my first thought when you texted me that that had happened, I thought, okay, well, now the Pacers are going to try and build around Tyrese Haliburton, who's 21 years old, and Miles Turner, who complained about being a glorified role player with the organization at 25, who's still in a good contract, someone that maybe they look at what those two are together.
Yeah, so let's just, for anyone who doesn't know the full details of the deal, the Pacers are getting Tyrese Haliburton, Buddy Hield, and Tristan Thompson for Domantas Sabonis, Jeremy Lamb, Justin Holiday, and a deep future second-round pick.
If you don't know, you don't care.
Yeah, the core of this deal is Haliburton for Sabonis, and then there's a bunch of salary match flying around as well. Those are all capable rotation players, but Haliburton for Sabonis is the big piece here. And you know, from the Sacramento side, some felt they had to make a decision between De'Aaron Fox and Tyrese Haliburton at some point. The Pacers obviously have had to make a decision between Sabonis and Turner forever, depending on who you listen to. So, yes, I think this is firmly we thought we could get better value for Sabonis, so we'll move forward with Turner. Turner's 25. Haliburton's nice and young. They're an interesting fit together. The Pacers are going to have a high draft pick this year, and while it's not the best of drafts, it's pretty interesting in the top four or five still. If they get some lottery luck, they're going to be in good shape. But yeah, all of the reporting coming out of this isn't a full teardown where you can expect every Pacer to go now. It's Miles Turner sticking around, and Miles Turner sliding to a full-time center role, not a co-center role. So I believe he's probably off the market. I would say the secondary effect is this is a slightly more win-now move for the Kings. I do wonder if it takes a name like Harrison Barnes out of that Dragic plus a first package kind of tier of guys. And I know this isn't the sexiest of center names. I wonder if it makes Rashawn Holmes available just because Domantas Sabonis is your starting center now, and I don't know. I mean, we know Marvin Bagley's available, but I wonder if Rashawn Holmes is available now. So those are the shakeouts I see.
Those shakeouts are really, really disappointing to me. I don't really care. I'll be honest, and this is how today is going to be shifting for me. I have talked a lot about my desire for the Raptors to move a first-round pick and the Dragic contract. And after that move yesterday and the belief that Miles Turner is staying put, Miles Turner of awkward TikToks now, as Ailish knows him. it was a bad TikTok. Honestly, that TikTok that he put out there softened the blow just a little bit.
We don't really want that around here.
Yeah, I don't need that. I don't need that in my life. I don't need my friends who cheer for teams that aren't the Raptors to be sending me more awkward Miles Turner TikToks, you know, as the days go on. I realize that I just don't think I'm in the business of trading a first-round pick this year, even in a weaker class that is later, or a less interesting class that's later, even for a team that is doing what the Raptors are doing right now, for the likes of Rashawn Holmes, for the likes of lesser light players that are just going to add around the fringes. Like, Blake, you brought up the Eric Gordon thing, and I've been thinking a lot about that because I feel like I should want Eric Gordon more. Eric Gordon should be more of a fit, and that's what you do. You trade for first-round picks. Maybe I was living in fantasy land, but I really, really wanted the Raptors to be using multiple assets to go get something of consequence. And now with Miles Turner off the board, it doesn't feel like there's that piece there for me. Like, my mind didn't pivot to a secondary player where I went, oh, and I would give up a future asset for this guy who's available on the market right now.
And your guy Bradley Beal is also out for the season.
I never thought Beal was actually getting traded this year.
But even if you wanted to do the, higher end target. So
yeah,
there are a couple things there. The first thing is, we say Dragic in a pick and maybe Flynn or whatever because, like, that's the basic framework of a deal.
Yeah.
I mean, you look around at some of these deals, maybe it's not a first-round pick that it costs, right? Like, Portland only returned a second as part of that Powell and Covington deal because they were getting off of money. Caris LeVert returned a first and a very high second. So that's maybe a bar you go off of. But if they're shopping lower than Caris LeVert, who's a young player who a lot of people around the league still think has upside, you know, maybe
how much
it's not
control
that much.
Does he have?
And one more and year after this year.
Only one, hey? So, okay. Because I was going to say, the Powell one I didn't really read too much into, simply because it was so much money they were moving off of with his deal that it was really hard to understand what exactly the valuation of the player was. I will say that right. It would have been amazing had the Raptors traded for Norm Powell back and used a second-round pick or so, because I actually think that he would have been a good fit. that they
He'd
would
be
have,
a perfect fit in that
That's
bench
what I
unit.
Mean, is that they could have really used Norm Powell, and even at his money, I wouldn't have gone, "Ugh, that's horrible. This is actually kind of nice." Imagine Norm Powell coming off your bench. That yeah. wouldn't be so bad right now.
Hey,
that,
you have to decide between Gary Trent and Norm Powell. Okay, right. I decide both.
Both. I'll take both.
I decide both.
Plus, you end up looking like a just super big brain genius if you yes. end up with both of them back. We'll see. Bobby Webster spoke yesterday. Blake, again, did my Twitter for me, where he said all the important things Bobby Webster said, which was nothing. He didn't say anything of real consequence, because he shouldn't. He's the general manager of a team that's approaching a trade deadline. So good for you, Bobby, keeping the cards close to the vest. I have lost a little bit of my excitement for the NBA trade deadline, because it's hard for me to envision the Raptors doing something now that really moves the needle for me. I said it'd be nice to get some business done, but now I'm more in that mindset, Blake, where you trade a player, you trade Dragic, if someone is interested in Flynn as an asset, if you can package those two together for some type of money that a team does not want to pay, great. But the idea of moving a first-round pick now, it's less appealing. But in part, I was going to say, is because you mentioned the Beal injury. Because Damian Lillard is sitting on the sideline. Damian Lillard isn't going to play anymore this year. It hasn't been officially announced, but it doesn't appear that he's going to. If you look at just Portland, what the moves that they've made, they kind of indicate that this guy's injury is going to be long-term. Bradley Beal now out for the season. There's real potential that he never plays another game there. If I'm the Raptors, my approach has shifted to, let's keep playing this year the way that we are. Let's still try to move the Dragic deal. Let's still try to see if we can find a challenge trade for Flynn. But let's ensure that we have as many flexible assets as possible for an offseason that could include some major names, and play out the playoffs and see where we're at from there. That is now becoming my shift. I was the first person to say get aggressive at the deadline. Now I'm going to be the first person who says don't get aggressive during the offseason.
My build off of that, and it's not a counter necessarily because I know you're allowing for this, but just to reiterate my stance from last week, is that even if that's your goal, I'm still looking for ways to turn Dragic into longer-term money because of the way the salary cap works in the summer. So for anyone who doesn't remember or didn't hear us, the Raptors do not project to be a salary cap team this summer, barring a trade of one of their core pieces. So Dragic's expiring deal doesn't have a ton of value to the Raptors once tomorrow at 3 p.m. passes.
Right.
If you can turn that into longer-term money, even though, on the surface, turning Dragic into longer-term money sounds like a silly thing, right? Like, why would you take on money if another team's trying to get off of it? And the reason is, can get someone on that money who can contribute, that's great. But B, you don't have many paths to add to your roster this offseason. So you're shopping with the mid-level exception, and you need trade pieces to make salary matching work. So let's say you are 95% sure you could trade for Bradley Beal next summer, but you would like for that package to be mostly picks, and you don't want to have to send out one of the core. Well, having an 18 or $20 million contract on your books that you're okay with losing is a good chip to have, as long as that is like a functional player, like an Eric Gordon, a Bogdanovich. That's where, like, we can call it the Fournier line, where Grange is thirsty for Fournier, and I think Fournier is a good player, but I think he might just be on the opposite side of that line where it's a negative asset value because it's got so much term. But an Eric Gordon or a Bogdanovich, that type of guy, is on the good side of that line where you can easily turn around and move him if you need to.
Yeah, anybody who spends any time on the NBA's trade machine understands that you need pieces to move out. And you cannot make the Bradley Beal trade or a Damian Lillard trade if those two things were even plausible or become plausible without having a contract like that. Ailish, are you... where are you just in terms of aggression level here? Because I like a day ago, I'm painting this picture of it's as wide open as anyone, and Siakam's playing as well as anyone. And so now I kind of feel like a fraud saying sit back and hold your powder dry. But I don't know. I just now I'm kind of feeling torn. I wonder how you feel in terms of aggression level, not pieces, picks, whatever, but what this front office should be doing right now.
It's funny because you always make fun of me for playing both sides, and look who's doing it now.
I know. I'm setting this up perfectly. If the Raptors go out and do something, I'll be like, I was the first to say get aggressive. That's the way
that's
I'm going
right.
to play it.
I see both sides of your argument. I wanted them to do something big, and we talked about this the last 2 days because it just signals that they have a direction. They have some sort of faith in making this season worth something, or that they want to go down the stretch and be competitive. So I'm still holding out faith that there'll be that space, but you're right. That trade yesterday, like, just kind of set the precedent that maybe it isn't going to be the trade deadline we expected 2 days ago. It's crazy how quickly things change, right? But I still want that. I think if I'm a Raptors fan, I saw how wild Kings Twitter was yesterday. I've never been in the Kings Twitter world. They were quite heated. I don't know. It seemed like a lot of people were unhappy with that move if you're a Kings fan. Not that I would want the Raptors fan base to be feeling that way, but just to see the excitement of things happening, of changes happening, to know your team has some sort of vision. I was a little bit intrigued on what that would be like if the Raptors had something like that in the next day or two. I still think there's a chance, but yeah, it feels like the gas on the pedal has your foot has lifted up slowly.
So I like what you said, the thing about vision, because that's that's usually my thing too, is have a plan. Don't move off the plan. It's why I'll never mind Dubas trading that first round pick for Nick Foligno, right? They went into that trade deadline and he said,
yeah, sometimes you miss. That's okay.
Sometimes it doesn't work out. I still don't think that was a bad trade. That's just rentals cost a lot of money in the NHL. They're always an overpay. They rarely look good, but you had a unique window and Dubas went after it, and he went after the player that he thought could really help them. Foligno ends up getting hurt. Breaks of the game, you know? Breaks of the game. But that's sort of where I'm at with the Raptors, is I hope the vision is flexible right now. And that sounds lame, and that sounds like you're almost letting them off the hook, but this is sort of one of those spots where I like them as a team you can call if you have pieces, but a team that won't be desperate for anything. And they're obviously not a dumb, desperate front office. In fact, my fear probably leans more the other way, where they're one of the groups that needs to win the trade, that they're in the Daryl Morey camp of, we're not making this move because we need to win it conclusively. We're not even used to losing deals like this. It's happened with what could have been the Lowry trade last offseason. Or during last trade deadline. I'm hoping that they don't do one of those where they need to win it by a massive margin, but I am at the point now where I go, aggressiveness should potentially be viewed potentially a little bit differently with major pieces out of the mix.
This has been their entire kind of roster construction strategy. So Masai Ujiri came in 2013, and it was a teardown initially, right? Like, they were going to strip it down and they were going to build it back up from scratch, and then they got accidentally good after that Rudy Gay trade, and then the Kyle Lowry to the Knicks trade fell apart, and they were like, hey, we can be flexible, we can take time to evaluate this. And then what ended up coming together led to, at that point, what was the best season in franchise history in 2015-2016. And then again, there were a lot of people that were like, you got to move off tomorrow, Kyle, because this core can't win a championship. And again, they kind of, it could get frustrating and impatient at times, but they kind of stayed in the, no, like, what we've built here is good, and it's easier to be flexible when you're good than when you're bad. And that eventually kept the window open for the Kawhi trade. And I think a lot of that strategy is going to inform how they're going here, where they think they have five guys who can probably make up five of the eight pieces of a championship rotation. Wherever you want to slot them in, that's, you know, personal preference or whatever. But they see a cap sheet that doesn't have bad salaries on it, all of their first-round picks, not a lot of free agent flexibility, but again, the willingness to take on money like Dragic so that you have a trade chip and you can stay lean and flexible. So, JD, I know you think it can sound a little, when you say it out loud, it can sound a little like, you're giving them too much benefit of the doubt of like, oh, well, if they don't make a move, I'm sure it's with a plan. But it is, because we've seen, what's it been, almost 9 full years now, where that flexibility and that agility in terms of direction and moves is a huge part of their roster building philosophy. So I don't think you're far off there. I think they would be more than happy to give up a first round pick attached to salary between now and 3 p.m. tomorrow if it got them a guy who fits in the rotation this year and next, has that control, and is a potential movable asset next summer. But if that doesn't materialize, no, I don't think they're going to chase bet and they're going to throw a first away for, you know, like, I don't think they're calling Portland and being like, hey, can we turn Dragic into Tomas Satoransky? Like, I don't think that's the kind of thing that they're doing. If that trade doesn't materialize, they'll play the buyout market, which isn't sexy either, but it probably beats giving up a first for a guy who doesn't move the needle at all.
I will say that I still think it's important to move Dragic.
If he doesn't get traded, he's going to get bought out anyway.
I know he's going to get bought out. What I'm saying is I think it would be a mistake not to take something. I'd rather take on the money. I'd rather flip and get a player that actually just plays for you this year that can give you 10 minutes in a basketball game is better than what Dragic currently represents. So to me, it is imperative that you still trade that. There's also the added benefit of, and I know these guys know this, they would pretend like they don't care, but that was still the Kyle Lowry trade. And if you end up with just Precious Achiuwa for Kyle Lowry, that's bad. Then you better hope what Blake says about they believe they can turn him into an all-defensive player turns out to be correct. Because, hey, guess what? I didn't think the Rising Stars game must be very good if Precious Achiuwa is in it, all right? I didn't think that the guy with stone hands who can't hit a bucket from 4 feet within the range of the cup should be in a game that involves the word stars. He's fine. He's okay. He's not a write-off because he's young. But I said it. If they do a redraft today, if tomorrow Precious Achiuwa withdraws from the NBA and enters the NBA draft, he's not going to be a first-round pick. I don't think so anyway. And if he is, he's probably getting slotted a little bit later than he got picked. So, yeah, I think you want to be able to bring in something that at least you can involve in the Steve Dangle trade tree down the line of, well, we ended up getting this for Kyle Lowry.
I would agree with that. And to your point about turning Dragic into even something that is capable for 10 minutes a game.
Yep.
These stats aren't going to be anything new to people. Like, they're not going to be a surprise, but I'm doing some pregame broadcast stuff around the deadline tonight before Raptors Thunder. And
that's
so
not
I was
a
putting,
surprise to anyone. You're right. That is not a surprise. Are you surprised Blake's doing stuff around the trade deadline for TV? No, me neither.
I was putting some stuff together just for visuals and stats and stuff like that. And the Raptors rank 30th in the league in bench minutes per game, bench points per game, bench assists per game, bench three-point field goals per game, and bench three-point field goal percentage. You are dead last in every bench category. Turning Dragic into literally anything would be a plus for you here, yes. Obviously, you don't want to take back... You know, I still don't love that framework that Hollinger threw out there, that Grange kind of tagged us in of turn Dragic into Fournier. Because, again, I think Fournier's just on the wrong side of that total contract asset value line. But something like that isn't the worst idea in the world.
No, it's not. Fournier is just, you're right, slight bridge too far. If it's one less year even on that Fournier contract, I go, all right, fine. But it isn't. It is what it is, and the contract's too long. It's not good. So, quickly, before we go on, do we have a long A-list today, or do we have a shorter A-list today? What do we have?
It's as much as you would like it to be. It could be on the shorter list. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I actually have a small item for the A-list today, too, if that's
okay.
I just want to say that on the actual trade itself, because there was two trades that happened yesterday of consequence, right? CJ McCollum goes to the Pelicans for Josh Hart, a pick, and
Nikhil Alexander-Walker,
who unfortunately is not worth much in a trade.
He's had the interesting thing of, like, his first summer league, he was so good and looked like a real point guard that everyone was immediately like, oh my God, we slept on this guy. And then his performance has just consistently gone the wrong direction so far. I actually love this for him as like, hey, you're going to get a new opportunity and Dame's not there. So like you can get minutes to figure it out. But yeah,
except for that, he plays next to Anfernee Simons, who doesn't pass and who takes every shot. Like, if you watch a Portland game, it's Anfernee Simons' show.
Have you watched Nikhil Alexander-Walker play this year? Because it's the same thing. They're gonna basically, those guys are going to do the Dame CJ thing, but a really broken version of it.
That trade is simple for me. I like it for both sides. I especially like it for the Pelicans because it looks like a signifier that they're on in a good place with Zion. I would assume anyways. I don't think you make that trade without some type of assurance that you're not moving Zion or that it's not acrimonious, because that trade only makes sense if you have Zion next year. Now you look at that and you say, wow, they have JV, Zion, Brandon Ingram, CJ McCollum, Larry Nance Jr.,
Devontae Graham was a nice piece.
They didn't move off of Devontae Graham, and they still could if they wanted to be flexible. But yes, he is still there.
Our guy, Herbert Jones.
Herbert Jones. Yeah, all of a sudden the Pelicans look like they could end up being a team, but it's really hard to judge them until the Zion thing is actually clear, because their whole organization is Zion, right? It's nice for them to be 500 right now, but who cares? You have a potential superstar, and we don't even know where he is. Like, we don't know what state he's in. Like, and I mean, I say what state he's in, I mean, like, how he is physically, but also, like, where he is currently located, which state.
Yeah, he's Carmen Sandiego right now. Like, yes. We got no idea where this guy is.
Josh Hart, good player. Love Josh Hart.
Yeah.
Portland's clearly in a rebuild. I think that they got, they maximized return, and now they lose a ton of, or they end up clearing up a ton of space for money. I don't think that they're doing anything with that to reshape around Damian Lillard, but it, again, when we're talking about flexibility with the Raptors earlier, at least it does present you with a option should something be there, right?
$60 million in cap space and a couple extra picks is still $60 million in cap space and a couple extra picks.
Exactly. The other trade, my biggest disappointment is that Sabonis is going to a team that doesn't make sense for him. I just want to see Sabonis on a good team. I think he's one of those guys where around the right pieces, he makes the right guys better. And that had you taken him from a non-competitive situation and dropped him onto a team like the Celtics. There was always this belief for me, and I know Raptors fans, you hate the Celtics, and it would have been bad for the Raptors if he ended up there. But I thought, boy, would he look like a really interesting piece with Tatum and Brown. What a cool deal that would end up being. What if he ends up dropping into just anybody competitive, and he goes to the organization that nothing gets better, you know? And they somehow pick the – Blake, you said they needed to pick between De'Aaron Fox and Tyrese Haliburton. It's like you pick
– They didn't need to. The reporting was just that they felt like they need to.
Even you saying that is just so frustrating because – Yeah, don't pick De'Aaron Fox. He's not good. And not only is he not good, he's got a bad contract. So to me, it seems like the Kings said, we can't move off of De'Aaron Fox, so let's double down on this and let's try to find someone who makes him better to just make this contract more palatable. Let's try and become an 8 seed for the next couple of years, and let's get absolutely smoked by whoever's at the top of the Western Conference. So I don't love the trade for the Kings. They do get a player that I think is underrated. I think Haliburton is a little overrated. He's young, though, and he's got like really great stats in terms of things.
And he's
like,
improved a lot. Like, exactly. You look back to the start of his college career, it's been it's been pretty rapid development. Sabonis, I'm with you. I think Sabonis got, like, he hit a point where maybe he got a little overrated and everyone overcorrected. He has a true shooting percentage of 65% this year. Like, he is monstrously efficient, and he doesn't look like a good defender sometimes, and Indiana wasn't a great defensive team. He has, every year of his career except for one, been a positive on-off impact kind of guy on the defensive end, and is in the 96th percentile in that this year and your impact on a team's defense. So there's
Blake,
some noise
what did I say
there,
to you when he first got available. I said, we're going to look back on the Sabonis trade someday and say, wow, he went for that cheap. And this that ruined that. I reneg on that take.
The question is, how does his offense fit with other ball-dominant guys? And we haven't really seen that yet, because he is a guy who needs the ball in his hands, and he needs to run a lot of elbow action and DHO and stuff like that to leverage his passing. And De'Aaron Fox isn't, like, the most natural guy to pair with a more ball-dominant interior player because he doesn't shoot. So we'll see how the fit is. I like Sabonis, though. I think, you know, and he's also, like, not old. He's been around forever, but I think he's 25. So
yeah.
Yeah. I'm fine with it. I get it for both sides. I really like Halliburton. Yeah. And I think that Indiana, if they're taking a step back, could probably reroute Buddy Hield somewhere. He's also – Buddy Hield's, like, not that bad. Like, he's a bad contract, but he's 29 and one of the best shooters in the league. Like, if you keep him, that's not the end of the world either.
I don't mind anybody that's usually making a trade for DeMontis Sabonis. I think that you gave up – you're, like, the one team that shouldn't have done it. And you gave up the one guy on your team you shouldn't have done that trade for. It's complicated for me. I go, Kings, all right, I understand it, but – also, I just don't. Also, it's just this better work out for you. You better be competitive because, man, poor Kings fans. With all that said, we'll see what ends up happening today. We'll keep you monitored. We've got tons of guests. We've got Bobby Marks on later in the show. And, yeah, he'll give us a little bit more insight as to what's going to go on with front offices. A guy who's very, 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 very connected. Always one of our favorite guests. But now it is time for the Road to the Podium, brought to you by CertainTeed, the pro's choice for roofing, siding, drywall, insulation, and ceiling systems. CertainTeed, pro all the way. So, Ailish, what are we looking forward to tonight at the Olympics?
Well, there are quite a few things happening currently. If you're getting up in the morning and getting your day together, a lot of Canadians are competing in speed skating right now, trying to push it to the final medal rounds. But tonight, since a lot of you might listen on the podcast, the biggest thing I would say that's on the schedule will be men's short free program figure skating. And we have a Canadian, it's the final. We have a Canadian, Keegan Messing, who will be starting at 11:06 p.m. Very specific, they've given you the time. So an opportunity for Canada to get a medal in figure skating is always an exciting. I love watching figure skating. Honestly, mm-hmm. It's probably one of my second or third favorites in the Winter Olympics. It's just, even
second.
This year. I think maybe I'm biased, what, though, because I
what
watch.
What is he competing with?
Hockey.
You said second or third.
Hockey and.
No, hockey's one.
I really like snowboard, like half pipe, like snowboard trick ones are really cool. But I think I'm biased, though, because I haven't watched as much this time around because there's no Tessa and Scott, right? And yeah. It feels like a completely different change of the guards in terms of Canadian figure skating. But Keegan Messing, who is representing Canada, actually has a pretty interesting story to why you should be rooting for him. His journey to Beijing, so he tested positive for COVID over a week ago, right before the team left for China. And he was stuck in Canada and he had to provide a bunch of negative tests in order to get clearance to come through. He had to go to Montreal for a test, then he had to go to Milan, then to Italy, then into Beijing, and he had 5 hours between him landing and his first practice before his first event of the games, which was less than 24 hours of this entire thing I just explained. They were going to have somebody step in and replace him, but long story short, he gets there, and so he's made it to the finals of the free program. So pretty exciting to see Canada climb their way up there. But USA's Nathan Chen set a world record yesterday in his performance, so pretty hard to beat. He's probably the gold medal favorite, but yeah, watch that tonight, men's free program figure skating.
We're also 32 minutes from my second favorite Olympic sport starting. Canada's men's curling team gets going momentarily here against Denmark.
I love curling too.
Yeah, but it's
just the best one to bet on.
Yeah, well, it's good. I don't know if it's the best one to bet on. It's conclusive, though. It's not a judge sport, which makes it better to bet on. There's so many things at the Winter Olympics. I'll just say it. That I just do not care about ever. Like, there's just so many things where I go, all right, that's fine. You guys are doing this. But I keep thinking about stuff like, imagine winning mixed doubles gold at the Olympics and then meeting Usain Bolt and going, I am also an Olympic gold medalist. And Usain Bolt, excuse me, you've devalued my currency. I'd like to speak with
someone.
Some
people could say the same. All you did was run 100 meters. That's it.
Yeah, those people would be kilometers dumb. And then shot a gun.
No, those people that would say that would not be the brightest of people. But yeah, I have a tough time with some of these events, but curling is not one of them. Mm-hmm. The ones that Ailish just outlined are not any of them either. Let's take a break.
Wait, the men's hockey tournament also has started today. So there was a game that just finished this morning while we're on the air, but Canada doesn't open their tournament until 8 a.m. tomorrow. A couple games tonight.
What was the score of that game? Because if you recall, some bozo put a bet on that game thinking that it was the game Eilish gave a winning pick to.
Oh, yeah.
And is sitting here with...
That's tomorrow at 8 a.m.
No, that's right now, I thought.
What was the game again?
Russia-Switzerland.
It was. Russia won 1-0.
No!
Yeah.
I had them 1.5.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I laid them 1.5.
Oh, see, I forgot.
Me and my comrades, the comrades who screwed up, who bet the wrong Russia-Switzerland game. I know. So not only did I lose out on Eilish's winning pick, I doubled that down with a loss.
The only one won nothing.
I should have known that those guys would do that to me
in
this game. I stared at it so many times and thought, cash this out. And I know, if you... Like the, you say, JD, your team never cash. I'm team never cash when you
but that's,
make the
that's
proper
a different
bet.
One. Yeah,
that's
if you
a
made
caveat.
The proper bet, yes. But this was just the that's a bad.
I know.
That's a bad
that's
way to start.
So
your Wednesday,
that's a
sorry.
Swing of hundreds of dollars, considering I would have had Eilish's win, and that's a toughie.
Oh,
I hate that. So yeah, guess what? Russia. You know why I didn't cash it too? Is because I'm doing my research of all the.
I mean, they have basically the whole KHL team there.
Exactly.
You thought they'd be great. Switzerland. What's
exactly.
going on?
Exactly. But you know, but the thing is, I should have known better because the Swiss always push Canada to the brink because they're always a tough yell. And I didn't do it. So hurtful.
I'm sorry
about
that, JD.
Thank
That's okay.
You.
We did hit our wake and rake yesterday again.
Bing bong.
Again.
Yeah.
So that should be something good. So yes, Canada opens their men's hockey tournament tomorrow.
Yeah.
Women don't play again until Friday morning. We'll be a day game finally, so we won't have to stay up till 11 p.m. So that's exciting.
I better see my fellow Patriots out at the bar for Canada-USA on Friday night, all right? Is that 8 a.m.?
No, I thought you meant the Canada Women's one. Yes. Canada,
oh, no,
the one you're talking
you
about is nighttime.
Faint. Yeah, I was going to say, I was so excited. I've already.
If you're a real Patriot, you'd be at the bar at 8 a.m. too.
Yeah, I guess I would be. Also, and also, guess what? This show, next week, a week from today, or an extra day, it's going to be a very hungover show because we're definitely going to watch that Canada-USA gold medal game. I don't care about the jinx. It's on Thursday night. It's going to get a... Go emotional for Eilish. Eilish gonna drag into the show.
I'm either gonna show up to the show,
like
I won't speak for the first 3 hours, just chip in for the Eilish, won't speak, or it'll be probably still drunk.
So the usual when JD's on one.
That's right. Anyway, this Road to the Podium was brought to you by CertainTeed, the pro's choice for roofing, siding, drywall, insulation, and ceiling systems. CertainTeed Pro all the way. Let's take a break. Got a fun A-list for you afterwards, and then we're going to talk to Joe Thomas at 7 o'clock. It's the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Everything you need to know about all things Raptors. The Raptor Show with Will Liu. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Happy hump day. You guys still don't like when I do that, do you?
That was
the Beatles, Ticket to Ride, which not only are we the Beatles of sports betting, once again with another wake and rake hit,
it's
Ticket
insane.
To Ride has to do with our first item on the A-list.
Now it's time for the A-list.
Bing bong,
bing bong,
bing bong.
What's up, baby?
So I don't know if you guys were into collecting things when you were younger, like if you collected Beanie Babies
Sports
or Pokemon cards.
Beanie Babies. Yes, that was me. I was there. Princess Diana, it's worth $1 million. Yeah, that was me.
My brother had... And
collected
probably,
beanies?
No.
Oh,
you were so excited
my
to rip
heart
on Jordy,
skipped a beat.
Eh?
Oh, my God. I actually have numbness in my left arm. I was so excited, almost had a heart attack.
He collected... Well, I think it was more my parents started to collect them for him, but Pez...
Yeah.
You know Pez?
Yeah, that's weird. That's not, definitely your parents, because Pez is an old person thing.
Okay, but they probably still have, I don't know, thousands of Pez put away somewhere.
Your,
and
your
I
parents
collected,
gaslit Jordy into thinking he was
collecting
Pez. And
then sometimes Pez they'll still give him like a Pez in like his stocking, and he's like, okay, like, I get it.
Yeah, yeah. They're like, yes, Snoopy.
Another one. So he was Team Pez, and I collected Archie comics, and I probably still have thousands stored away somewhere. Yeah. But it's always
all collected Archie comics.
Yeah, but I wanted like got like some of the old ones, and I got
you were vintage. That was your first vintage.
It might have been my first vintage endeavor, but it's always interesting to hear like what things people. My mom had cookie jars, like people. Yeah, maybe we were hoarders, but that's fine.
Yeah, I was gonna say this is now. You're like, we collected Pez magazines and cookie jars. Makes it sound like your house was a hoarder house. But yeah, okay.
So anyway, this guy, this got me thinking about that. So really cool story. This man, Derek, there's a guy named Derek Stebner, okay? And he has been collecting Super Bowl tickets his entire life. And he doesn't
he doesn't just collect
used. He only collects tickets that have never been used. And it's his mission in life to obtain all 156 different ticket variations from every Super Bowl ever played. He remains 10 tickets shy of a full master set. He's constantly scanning the internet and looking, working the phones, he says in his interview, trying to find vintage Super Bowl tickets. Quality is key. He has them ranked. He gets a professional sports authenticator to look through them. He has a grade of 10 on 69, nice, of his tickets. 89 are the highest grade available, so he's going for the good stuff.
Ailish.
But don't interrupt yet. He's a very sweet man. In 1967, guess how much it cost to get into the Super Bowl between the Chiefs and the Packers, because he's got all the tickets.
Just $5.
$12. That's how much it costs to go to the Super Bowl in 1967. Obviously now it's thousands and thousands of dollars, so he's going to have to find unused tickets. Some of them are worth hundreds of thousands of dollars in his collection, but the end of the story ends at he's been offered a couple times how much to sell this for. He's been offered $1 million.
Oh my God.
And he still won't. He said, I won't do it. That's why I'm a terrible seller. I love this stuff too much.
Okay. So yesterday you had a story that had cancer. This is way more depressing.
Okay.
This is way more depressing. Imagine this. Okay. There's so many things that are just breaking my brain on this. So you're trying to you're some kind of a ghoul that's capturing FOMO here where you go, I've got an unused ticket. You didn't go to the game. I captured the FOMO. I stole a ticket from someone. There's Bengals fans out there that are going to have to watch all these rich people load into the Super Bowl with Rams hats that live in LA and go, I love Super Bowl. This is cool. And you're there just breaking your back every day in Ohio at some, I don't know, pulp mill trying to get by. And there's this clown out there that's hoping that someone doesn't even go. Someone doesn't even take your seat, that he captures it. He captures the essence of the person not going. Imagine you had $100,000 just to kick around. And you decided, what are you going to buy? You're going to buy a cool car. You know, you could go on an amazing trip and just go nuts on the trip. It's like, no, what'd you buy? What'd you spend your 100 G's on, man? It's like, I bought this Super Bowl ticket unused. Green Bay Packers, Kansas City Chiefs, 1967. It's on the wall right here, as you can see. If my friend did that, I'd burn their house down. I'd burn their house down with them inside of it, because I wouldn't be able to handle that. I wouldn't be able to handle knowing this is the worst. This is the worst. I'm so upset by every element of this story.
That guy would sell the entire collection.
Won't sell for $1 million. You're an idiot.
No, he would sell it for one friend to watch a football game with.
Yeah, it's true.
Stop.
Yeah, he would.
So the hardest one that he's trying to find And there's apparently a guy in California who has, this is his quote, the best one and won't sell it, is the exceedingly rare Super Bowl III ticket.
Ooh.
Okay.
The Jets.
He needs to, wow. That was impressive. You knew that. Impressive. Anyway, so if you have one laying around, let this guy know. Hit him up. He'd probably be overjoyed to hear from you if you have any unused Super Bowl tickets.
He'd be overjoyed to hear from anyone about anything.
You guys are so
mean. His first human contact of the year.
Jets, the Jets Super Bowl ticket that he so covets, here's the play. If you own that one, you wait until this guy's on death's door.
And then you say,
I'll sell it to you so that you can have your life complete.
That's for really nice.
So that I'm left in your will as the benefactor of everything. You get to have a moment where you've got it all together, but then I get it all back like a week later after you perish inside of your obviously depressing and empty home. Poor guy.
Okay, so I wanted to use this as an opportunity for people to text in 59590 things that you collect or collected. Put yourself on blast if they're embarrassing. I don't care. Somebody already texted in that they have over 200 Pez. So,
There's
did you guys
no
not collect anything other than sports cards?
Yeah, basketball cards, yes. Hockey cards and basketball cards. Well, what do you want me to do? That's what I collected. I collected those two things. Oh, actually, that's not true. I have one nerdy one. But again, it was my parents gaslighting me. That's all I know what happened to your brother.
Okay, what is it? What is it?
Hardy Boys books when I was like eight.
Yeah.
Seven
that's
or
a good
eight.
One.
Hardy Boys books. It used to matter like the color inside the cover of the book. And on the outside of it, you'd go to like old bookshops and try to find. Mm-hmm. I remember doing that with my dad. I would have been in grade two. How old are you when you're in grade two or three? I don't know. Those were some of the first books that I read.
Eight.
But either way, I collected Hardy Boys books. And it was a problem because you ended up with a bunch of them and they were hardcover. And you go, how do I get rid of these things? Where do they go? Where do they end up? You know, and they would move with the family, but I didn't care about them after I was like 10 years old. So
that's like we have a storage place full of Pez and Archie comics all like stored away in like airtight
storage
containers.
Place, you mean your house.
Okay.
Your house is where everything else is stored. That's your parents' spin zone is they're always, we're just collectors. You come out. Oh, sorry. Just move that collection of old newspapers to the side.
If you
want to
sit on the couch, you'll have to sift through the Pez.
And then your dad's like, not those ones. Those are the rare ones.
Blake, here's your opportunity to allow, you have 2 minutes for your own A-list item that you said you had.
Oh, yeah. So all the NBA All-Star stuff got announced last night, like who's in the dunk contest, three-point contest, and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Raptors 905er Alex Antetokounmpo is the only G League All-Star this year because for the...
Not Bonga? What is this blasphemy?
They have tweaked the Shooting Stars like skill competition thing. There is a Cleveland team of three Cavaliers. There is a rookie team that includes Scotty Barnes. And then the third team is the Antetokounmpo brothers. And it's Giannis and Thanasis from the Bucks and Alex from the 905. And because they're not doing, like, the G League All-Star game this year doesn't exist, they're just putting those Ignite guys.
Oh, no.
They're putting Ignite guys on in the Rising Stars game, which is cool. So Alex Antetokounmpo is the lone G League All-Star this year. He got a DNP CD last night, by the way. did not play in a game. So it's just like weird
was Bonga oddity. At all considered? My boy? My guy?
Well, no. He's not an Antetokounmpo brother, so.
Yeah. He should have been related
to Giannis. Put some respect on Bonga.
Could you imagine, though? It's like, I kind of feel for that guy a little bit, where
your brother is a superstar.
No, but that's cool, but this is almost worse. Okay, so remember how, so Cooper Manning was always the brother of the Mannings where we went, oh, poor Coop. Mm. But at least with Cooper, they used to say, oh, Cooper was the best of us. He just got hurt. And now Cooper is the father of Arch Manning, who is going to be potentially the next big deal. And Cooper was successful in other endeavors. He wasn't a football guy. Like, he had his own life outside of football, and we used to feel bad for Coop because the other Manning brothers were so successful. This is one where, you're happy for his brother, Giannis. Thanis is in the NBA, but it's like, you're in the G League and you can't even play. You're so bad. You're not even, like, you're so bad. You're only there on name alone. That's it. You're only on the G League roster because of name alone. If your name was Antetokounmpo, you're, I don't know where you are. You're not in the G League. Like, you're not at the All-Star game.
Maybe you should get into collecting cards or something.
Pez. Yeah, you should get into collecting Pez so that you can sell them to your hoarder parents down the line for, you know, wait until you find out that your family, all of the money is going towards Pez. Poor Jordy and his Pez collection and every Christmas. Get it? Because you liked Pez, Jordy. That stuff. That stuff. That's okay, though.
Anyway, there's a lot coming in the text line. I'll read them out later throughout the show of people's collector items. Oh, they're good. Reminiscing.
I'll power rank who are the dorkiest. Here's the thing. You can send in whatever you want because no one's going to beat the depressing Super Bowl ticket guy who spent $100,000 on, or who won't spend $100,000 on things that matter or that are fun or cool or interesting in any way. That's what I think.